Streaming live from the Northington Energy Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Extreme Trucker Show with your host, Rich Miller. Brought to you by Napa Filters, quality filters for all your needs.
Motel 6, lowest price of any national chain.
Highway Health Magazine, we have your health and wellness at heart.
Northington Energy's Diesel Boost Plus, the energy drink for diesel trucks.
And Kit Kat, have a break, have a Kit Kat. Now, your host, Rich Miller.
Good evening and welcome aboard the Extreme Trucker Show. Tonight is February 5th, 2015. I am your host, Lisa Catherine, and we are live from the Northington Energy Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Once again, I would like to thank VXI Corporation. I'm very comfortably broadcasting the show using the VXI Blue Parrot headset. Thank you, VXI, for such a great product. VXI Blue Parrot headset, the number one Bluetooth headset with truckers everywhere. Thanks for joining us tonight for part one of our Made in America series. Made in America, those are some pretty powerful words. They have become synonymous with quality. When you see a label that says Made in America or Built in America or Product of the USA, you know you are getting the very highest of standards. Tonight we welcome on the show Josh Miller, star of Made in the USA, the 30-Day Journey documentary available on iTunes. This documentary follows Josh on his 30-day journey to see if he can survive on American-made products. Joining Josh is the producer of the documentary, Ron Newcomb. Together, they are here to share their adventure. Josh stays with us as we move on and highlight two companies who produce products made in the USA. First up are truckers Debbie and Jeff Zayer, owners of 16-Ton Industries and inventors of Cubby Buddy. That's right, not only do they invent great American products for truckers, they are truckers themselves. Debbie and Jeff Zayer will share with us why buying Made in America products are so important to the trucking industry and our economy as a whole. Their motto, making trucking easier, one American-made product at a time. Our next guest is John Henrys with Diesel Boost Plus. John joins us to discuss why Diesel Boost Plus is the additive for the independent operator and the fleet owners alike. Sustainable, green, and homegrown right here in the USA. From bottles to labels to caps, it's all 100% American made. Tune in and see why Northington Energy Diesel Boost Plus is right for you. Diesel Boost Plus, the energy drink for diesel trucks. As always, we like to end our show with our musical guest. Tonight we welcome native Nashville's own Jason McCoy of the band The Roadhammers, here to share two of their original songs, Mud and Hillbilly Highway. Tune in and enjoy the conversation. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter and listen to the archive or live shows on your iPhone, iPad, or Android at extremetruckers.us/mobile, anywhere, anytime. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Extreme Truckers Show, broadcasting live with the VXI Blue Parrot headset, the number one Blue Parrot headset with truckers everywhere.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Fusion Health, healthy sleep, healthy future, Fast Cargo, driving great carriers, and Rudolph Foods, nobody makes better tasting pork rinds. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to the Extreme Truckers Show.
When trucking companies are recruiting, where do they go? To the Extreme Trucker Show, where our recruiting specialists give you the edge for all the best employment opportunities. Tonight's featured carrier is Averitt Express. Are you just starting your truck driving career or looking to take it to the next level? Then join the team of Averitt Express Drivers, where more than 800-plus associates have called home for more than 20 years. Call 888-967-5487 or visit AverittCareers.com. CDLA holders needing training, apply online to AverittCareers.com. And remember to tell them you heard it live on the Extreme Trucker Show.
We are back, and I want to welcome on the show Josh Miller. Hey, Josh, are you there?
Yes, how's it going?
Good. How are you this evening?
Oh, busy as ever. I got a new baby girl on the way, our first edition. So it's been kind of a wild time here the past week or so.
I bet. Yeah, I wanted to congratulate you on that. That's a super big deal to have happened in your life. It's forever going to change. You know that, right?
Oh, yes. I'm already realizing that.
Well, it's a great thing. What's your daughter's name?
Kennedy Grace Miller.
Oh, so how pretty.
Yeah, my wife came up with that, so I had to go with it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true, especially after she, you know, just gave birth and all.
Yeah,
you don't want to argue.
I'd give her that courtesy.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Well, listen, we're still trying to locate Ron. He's supposed to be calling in here any minute, so hopefully he will, and he'll join you. But really wanted to talk to you a little bit about your documentary first. I want to tell you I appreciate you coming on the show, and you know, you're going to stick with me here for a little bit and kind
of
talk to our spotlight product, spotlight Made in America products too. So I wanted to give you a few minutes to just tell us a little bit about the documentary and you know, why did you make this documentary? What was the catalyst that kind of brought you to this point?
Well, there was a plant closure in my hometown of Ravenswood, West Virginia, Century Aluminum. And over 650 people lost their jobs. Included in that was my father-in-law. And, you know, this was a major manufacturing facility for aluminum. And it was huge to our town. And, you know, as I've always been a big political guy, and I've always been a fan of manufacturing. And, you know, when that plant shut down, I started realizing, you know, these manufacturing jobs, these well-paying, sustainable jobs are extremely important to our future. And when that plant shut down in my hometown, you could just kind of see the domino effect happen in that town. You know, when we got 3,000 to 5,000 people as our population base, and you pull that type of money out of a community, you, like I said, you see the domino effect. You start seeing small businesses shut down, the small mom and pop shops shut down.
Right.
I'll tell you what, in the long run, we even had a Big Lots in Ravenswood that shut down. So you know, when Big Lots shuts down, that it's really really bad. So
it is bad.
You know, yeah. So it's. When I called up my business partner who's about to come on here, hopefully he does, Ron Newcomb, and I said, what do you think about me traveling across the country for 30 days, living off products only made in America? Because I made that connection. I said, this is something that people need to hear, and I don't think that I'm not saying they don't understand it, but it doesn't, you know, sit in your head all the time. You're not thinking, oh, well, I always got to support American made. It's not something that, I mean, you'll have the waves of the American made movement. You know, when times are bad, it seems like the Made in America movement kind of reaches its peak. And when things get better, people forget about it. But
right.
I said, listen, I want to make a statement with this film. And I want to show people that we need to pay attention to this at all times, because economic security, which is what buying American made supplies, you know, that supplies economic security for our country. And to me, that's just as important as our physical security as a nation. And we spend trillions of dollars, you know, protecting that every year. You know, that's
right.
Something that we should start thinking about, because economic security is just as important. So, you know, allowing people to put food on the table for their families. And, you know, it seems that the economy is improving, but I'm still not convinced that we're where we need to be, because I don't think that our manufacturing sector is where it needs to be, because we're still offshoring to China and places
right.
like that. And it's just very frustrating to me. But anyways,
well, there's so many industries that have left. You know, I mean, you look at North and South Carolina and the furniture industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those places are, you know, like a ghost town now. You know,
it is, and it's terrible. And I'm afraid that if we don't understand what's happening to us, it's going to be too late. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I always think that, you know, America still has that chance to turn the tide and refocus our vision on a national manufacturing plant. And I think that we can really do that if we elect the right people. And, you know, I've always been the guy, I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican, I care about results. And I think that a lot of Americans are starting to feel that way. Now, I know everybody has their, you know, their thoughts and opinions on things, but I think as bad as things have gotten, I really think that people are more focused on results now. And we really need people in office that say, okay, this is enough. We're going to do whatever we can to start bringing these sustainable, long-term jobs back to our country. And, you know, that's the kind of people that we need in office right now.
That's the problem. You know, there just seems to be a kind of lackadaisical attitude towards it, and they're letting things just drift away. And I know that there's, you know, reasons behind a lot of, you know, a lot of the trade and the, you know, there's always going, you need a world economy. That's never going to stop, and we want a world economy. But we also want to take care of our own and our own businesses and our own economy, too. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, just going out and buying a few things. You know, you don't have to be 110% made in America, as you found out. It's kind of difficult, right?
Yes. Even the Made in USA guys, they call me, I 100% agree. But, you know, you're right, and I've said this in a lot of my – I was on an interview with Yahoo News and CNN. This is a world economy. It's a global economy. We're not going to shake that. It's the way it's going to be. But we need to put policies in place that allow ourselves to outcompete the world. I mean, this is a competition, whether we like it or not. I mean, I don't like to look at it as a game, but, you know, business is a game in a way, and your job is to outcompete your fellow businessmen, you know, and you got to grow your business. But I want to see that happen here in America, and I believe in American workers and the quality and the skills that they have to produce the best products in the world. What's happening right now, though, is that we have become a disposable economy. We just say, all right, throw it away, buy another thing, throw it away, buy another thing. You know, 50 or 60 years ago, it was instead of buying something once or twice a year, you know, you bought something and it lasted for 10 or 12 years. But that's not the way the system is set up now. You know, you got stockholders and fiduciary responsibilities to investors.
Right.
And, you know, the mom and pop days seem like they're over. But I don't think so just yet. I think people are going to wake up and say, hey, and excuse my language, but at the end of the day, we're screwing ourselves when we're doing this type of stuff and supporting a lot of these countries that, you know, can go that actually literally, I hate to use this term, but it's almost like modern day slavery in some different parts of the world. And
oh,
we allow
brilliant.
These products to, yeah, and we allow these products to come into our country, but they would be illegal to make here. And that's what I just don't understand. That's what baffles me. But, you know, that's the system that we have set up now. And it's really frustrating to me because it hurts the American worker and it hurts the American manufacturer. And it encourages them to go offshore. I mean, that's what business practices teach now. I mean, they actually encourage people to say, you can open up a company here, but keep your manufacturing facility in China. And that irritates me more than anything. And that's why I'm here. I'm trying to turn that tide and show people we can do it all if we want to.
When you were making the documentary, did you you talked to a lot of people. You know, what was the best interview that you did? What was the most interesting interview that you did on the documentary?
Time and time again, I've been asked this question, and it never changes. I had a lot of great interviews, but I enjoyed the interview with Michael Arrington of Connects Toys and the Rodon Group.
Okay.
Because,
yep.
I mean, he was very knowledgeable of the toy industry and the plastic injection molding industry. And he really understands the logistics and what needs to happen to bring jobs like that back here, you know, more of them. And also at the same time, you know, the kid come out in me, and I got to play with toys, and I got to go around the facility, and it was just a wonderful experience. And, you know, Michael Arrington is a very, very intelligent individual, and if I had to create a national manufacturing policy, you know, an agenda, you know, that guy would be on the board because he's a very smart man.
Oh, gosh, that's you know... That would be an interesting board, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's something that needs to happen. But I'll tell you what, I mean, just being there and seeing those toys being made and you know, like I said, the kid comes out in you. It's almost like Christmas time. You get to walk around and play with all that stuff. I was in heaven for a few hours there.
A kid at heart, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I can't shake it.
Well, pretty soon you'll be able to buy those toys. Maybe not right now because she's a little young, but pretty soon, next Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be a blink of an eye, and then she'll be, I'm wrapped around her finger and swiping. Well, as long as I'm buying American made, I'll be happy. That's as long as she's okay with that.
Well, tell me, what was the biggest surprise you had for the interview when you were the biggest surprise making the film? How's that?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think that this is an interesting fact, and it's kind of indirect to the film. But as I was traveling, I realized how hard it was to not use electronics, you know, as I was traveling. And eventually I had to cave because I had to get my business done and be able to operate. But here's a crazy fact, and I read this off in a book called Remaking America. And I think it was kind of run through the Alliance for American Manufacturing out of Washington, D.C. But in 2012, I think that there was over a billion, if I'm not mistaken, I have to look at the book, but over a billion cell phones made, and not one single phone was made here in America.
Wow.
And, I mean, if you think about that, why can't we figure out a way to produce those here? Because you know how it is. Every year, people line up for Apple iPhones and Samsung Galaxies, you know, and they're produced every year. Just think of, you know, think of the jobs that could be created here if we focused on making technology like that and manufacturing those things.
Right.
So that baffles me too. Like I said, I try my best to try to figure out what the United States is doing, and I just come to the conclusion that we don't value making things anymore.
That's
the truth.
We
value, value the service sector industry.
Well, you got to step back and look at the children and what's going on with kids these days. They're sitting playing a lot of these game cubes and these handheld all these, I don't know what you really call them, but all the games that they play. And,
yeah, I just remember Game Boy.
Yeah, Game Boys and all those things. Well, they're all this technology, and they're sitting on their iPhones, and they're texting, and they're Instagramming, and they're, doing all these things. They're not going outside and building forts anymore. You know, they're not going outside and tinkering. And, the boys aren't going out in the garage and helping their dads work on the cars. They're just not doing that as much. And it's changing our entire generations of kids. You just don't see people being able to repair or fix things themselves. Everything has to be taken to, a specialist or, it's interesting. And that sets up a whole different mentality when it comes to a toaster breaking down, your toaster breaks. Well, I'm just going to throw it out. And you expect to do that. You don't expect to have your, the crazy uncle that you bring the toaster to and he sits there and fixes it anymore. That's gone. And it's because, the toasters are made to break and throw out, and then you buy a new one and you're getting it replaced, and it's a, constant replacing of everything. So it's just a throwaway society, like you said.
Yeah, there's a lot of irony in it because, the manufacturing sector, you know, back in the day, my grandparents' era, you could have a job at the local factory, make $40,000 to $60,000 a year, take care
right.
of your family. You knew how to fix things. You had time. You were treated pretty well at that time as a laborer. And now is our transition over to the service sector economy. And I know people would disagree, but now we're in an era where you have to work two or three jobs just to get by. And,
right.
To be able to afford insurance and you don't know how to fix anything. And the reason that we have to have that quick fix and take things to places is because we're busting our butts working two or three jobs, just to get by. We don't have time to to learn those things and to learn those values. And that's kind of, you know, that's the problem, in my opinion, is that we've just shifted our focal points to the service sector industry. And I'm a believer that the manufacturing industry generates service sector industry jobs. And once again, from that book I was reading, Remaking America, one of the comments in there was, when an auto industry, an auto industry plant comes into town, you can guarantee a Walmart's going to show up. But when a Walmart shows up into town, you can't guarantee that an auto industry plant is going to show up. You start thinking about things like that, and you start wondering, why are we not doing something about this? You know, and in my opinion, is we just can't get past the fact that we love cheap products. And it's going to be something's got to happen, and I'm not sure yet, you know, what that is. But I don't know if we've got to lose everything as a nation and, you know, really be at a point of despair. You know, you look at the national deficit and all the trade deficits that we have and all the money we owe. You know, I don't know what's going to happen here in the future. And like I said, I'm not a doom and gloom guy. We can still turn it around. But we have to start thinking differently. We have to create and innovate and manufacture again. If we can't do that, then I don't think things are going to get better, you know, anytime soon. Regardless of what the unemployment numbers say, regardless whether you're a Democrat or Republican, regardless whether you get taxed more or taxed less, you know, whether you have more money in your pocket or not, if you're buying those foreign-made products, for the most part, you're sending money overseas.
That's the truth.
So,
well, listen, hey. We have to go to a little break. I know you're going to stay on with us, and when we come back, we're going to have the Zayers on. Hopefully, we'll have the Zayers on with Cubby Buddy, and we'll talk a little bit more about American-made products, okay? So just stay tuned.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and listen to the archived or live shows on your iPhone, iPad, or Android at extremetruckers.us/mobile. Anywhere. Anytime. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Extreme Trucker Show, broadcasting live with the VXI Blue Parrot headset, the number one Bluetooth headset with truckers everywhere.
It's time now for the Extreme Trucker Show's Healthy Tip of the Week. This tip is endorsed by the Healthy Trucking Association of America. We have your health and wellness at heart.
Looking for a quick pick-me-up during the day? Prepare ahead cubed turkey, cubed cheese, any type, cheddar is my favorite, and almonds. A solid handful of each will give you a great energy boost, and it is filling. Add some water, and you are good to go. Try this in place of your regular salty snack food, and you will feel the difference. This tip has been brought to you by Northington Energy's Diesel Boost Plus, the diesel boost drink for your diesel truck.
Tonight's episode of the Extreme Trucker Show is brought to you by Napa Filters. Quality filters for all your needs. Motel 6, lowest price of any national chain. Highway Health Magazine. We have your health and wellness at heart. Northington Energy's Diesel Boost Plus, the energy drink for diesel trucks. And Kit Kat. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat. Now, back to your host, Rich Miller.
When trucking companies are recruiting, where do they go? To the Extreme Trucker Show, where our recruiting specialists give you the edge for all the best employment opportunities. Tonight's featured carrier is Averitt Express. Are you just starting your truck driving career or looking to take it to the next level? Then join the team of Averitt Express drivers, where more than 800-plus associates have called home for more than 20 years. Call 888-967-5487 or visit averittcareers.com. CDLA holders needing training. Apply online to averittcareers.com. And remember to tell them you heard it live on the Extreme Trucker Show.
Hey, we're getting low on fuel and coffee, but we'll be back on the road with more of the Extreme Trucker Show in moments. Stay with us, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Let's be traveling by his town. doesn't ever happen around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jap guitar. Now I'm smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rocking little combo from a guitar town. Hey, pretty baby, don't you know it ain't my fault? I love to hear the steel bells humming on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant. Baby, won't you hold me tight? I'm loading up and rolling out of here tonight. One of these days I'm gonna settle down and I'll take you back with me to the guitar town.
Okay, we are back and we are live. We've got a couple of new guests on the show. We've got Josh Miller, who has actually stayed on with us, and we now have Jeff and Debbie Zayer. Hi, guys. Are you all there?
All right.
We are.
All right. Well, how are you this evening?
Not too terribly bad at all.
Okay. Okay, I'm talking to Jeff and Debbie, and where are you guys calling from?
Right now we are in California, and but we are from Minnesota.
Okay, and so you, I think in the beginning you may not have heard, but I had introduced you as not only are you truckers, that is your actual full-time job, but you're also owners of a very interesting company, and I want you to start telling us a little bit about that. But first, I wanted to introduce you to Josh Miller. He is on the line, and. Of course, Josh is the star of the documentary that you know we've been talking about here today, and just really wanted to. We're doing the part one of Made in America, of course, and Josh is the star of Made in the USA: The 30-Day Journey. Not sure if you guys have had the opportunity to see it or not, but it's very intriguing, and I just wanted you guys to say hello to one another.
Yeah, we heard about the show one other time. It was really interesting, so I'm glad to be able to talk to him. But I'll let my wife take over. I'm the shy one.
Oh. So it's nice to meet you both. It's definitely nice to meet you both.
Yeah. Jeff is the inventor, the guy behind the scenes kind of guy in our company, I guess.
Right. Why don't you start telling us a little bit about Cubby Buddies? You invented this really neat American-made product. I guess all of your products are American-made. And tell us a little bit about exactly, what Cubby Buddies is.
Well, our company is 16-ton Industries, and we make two major lines. And one of them is the Cubby Buddy toolbox system that goes in the side compartment, or what we call in Minnesota, the cubby hole. So hence Cubby Buddy. And it's a modular system. We have 10 different models that you can mix and match to fit every truck that's on the road in America.
Wow, that is pretty impressive. How many have you sold of those? Is that a big selling thing? Is the product, is the company growing? Can you keep up with the demand?
Well, yes, we can, as long as we're home enough. Because being full time. On the road, we've got to have people that can ship for us. But we plan ahead, so in between trucking, we're out in the shop assembling them all. So they're all manufactured 27 miles from our home and actually painted then at the place that we haul all the time. So when we're there to pick up a load to head across the country, we'll just pick up a pallet to bring home and then start working on them some more. So.
That's really amazing. I know you're kind of gearing up for the mats.
Oh, yeah, kind of excited about mats. We started the company. We launched it in November of 2010, and it's been an uphill struggle, you know, and with any new product, you have to get your name out there, and you have to, so the first year I think I did, while he was trucking, I think I did like 22 trade shows and appearances across the country just to get people introduced to the product, and then slowly every year we keep dwindling down just because of cost and all of
right.
that, but Matt's is the big one, so we're excited about it.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, you know, being truckers and, you know, making American-made products, I mean, that's a huge impact. Josh, what do you think about this, you know, their endeavor and what they have to do?
Hey, any entrepreneurial spirit out there, I definitely, you know, promote. And I, you know, like I said, I tip my hat. I was looking at your website, doing a little bit of research. I was going to ask you, if you don't mind me asking, what inspired you to make this American-made? Because that's a question I always ask people, because as we were talking in the previous segment, it's so easy just to say I'm going to make everything in China and places like that. What was your inspiration to keep this in America?
Number one, being truck drivers, that's what we want to haul across the country. It's something made here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I wanted to break in, too, that we were just looking for, when we started, we're not looking to get rich. Our goal was, my wife and I, just to have 100% customer satisfaction. And mm-hmm. so far, I think we have it, unless, you know, every once in a while there's a guy out there that gets mad and never calls the company and just complains about it. But as far as we know, there's 4,000 or 5,000 of them out there, and I mean, everybody, when we're at Matt's, I mean, 80% of the people that are standing in our booth are old customers. Mm-hmm. Just, we've become friends with them. They love it. They love the quality, and we just wanted it to be tough, you know.
Well, see, that's the thing that I like about it is that, you know, with American-made products, you actually get to see who you're buying from. You know, as with you being owners of your company, you can go down to the facility and make adjustments to your product. Like if you wanted to make some type of innovation or addition to your product, you know, you can talk to the people that are manufacturing it. And, you know, going back, Lisa, when I was talking about Connects and
uh-huh.
their toy company, now some of their stuff they do have to ship from overseas. But he
mm-hmm.
said, for example, if they ship from China, it takes 6 weeks on a boat to, you know, to make, like when they're doing Christmas season, they have to
right.
order all their stuff in May. So,
right.
you know, like I said, there's a lot of advantages to being American made, and it's not always more expensive, as people say. I just, I've got a lot of opinions on offshoring, and none of them are very good, and a lot of those people don't want to hear it. But, you know,
yep.
like I said, I definitely respect what you do, and I appreciate your support for American made and, you know, and helping create American jobs, because that's the only thing that's going to save this country are people like you that, you know, desire to keep it here. And like I said, thank you.
Well, and you're 100% right. We had problems right at the beginning, even on the U.S. side, but we were right there. We could take care of the problem, and that's when we decided to build everyone ourselves. I mean, we get mm-hmm. the pieces made, but me and my wife and my son, he's kind of out of it
mm-hmm.
now, but we assemble absolutely everyone, because
mm-hmm.
I was probably on my fifth or sixth prototype, and we thought we had it nailed down. So we told this company to make 25 of them, paint them, box them, ship them to us, and we opened them up, and like 3 out of the 25 worked the way I wanted. So right there, if that would have been overseas, I mean, it would have taken months. But we went back
yep.
there and made them and told them the problems, and they said, every part is going to go to our place. It's going to be assembled by us. So we know if it works or not, you know. So
mm-hmm.
we can put our name on it. And, you know, I can't imagine how I'd have felt if I'd have shipped out one of those 25 and it didn't work. You know, I would have just I think I would have just stopped in my tracks right there, you know. So,
it's crazy.
Like you said, overseas, that would have taken forever to fix.
Perception is everything, because if, you know, your initial customers aren't happy, they're not going to tell other people. So your ability to make those changes that quickly is an advantage. And I think a lot of the times people that offshore their stuff, you know, in their products, look at initial cost, because it's a natural thing in our country. We're short-sighted and we don't see the long-term benefits of reshoring. And, you know, a lot of the times we get caught up in that initial cost saving. But, like, in the long run, like you talked about, if you'd have had 3 out of those 25 are the only ones that work, you'd have had to ship it back to China and make those additions and changes, and you would have, it would have cost you a lot of money.
Definitely.
And then the engineering changes as well overseas.
Exactly.
You're not right there to tell the engineer, this is how I want it drawn. You know, this is how I want it made. It's more difficult. And in the beginning, when we were looking for parts, right away we just said American made. It has to be, you know, that's just what we did. And I don't know where the original things come from, you know, the pieces to make these products, but I know that we're buying everything in the United States. And I know that in the beginning we had a real issue with trying to find the drawer slides. That's the moving component. That was the most important. And when we had some shipped to us, all of them were made in China, and all of them came back. We had samples sent to us, and then later the same samples, but they were different than the original. And then we talked to other people who have ordered these same drawer slides, and for no reason whatsoever, China will ship them to them, the same company, but they've changed the design of them by 1 millimeter, and now they don't fit for what they were using.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, it's wild what goes on over there. And then the other thing that irritates me, too, is when American companies ship their products to be made there, and then they get their intellectual property stolen, and then they want they want America to protect their intellectual property. I'm like, well, you should have thought about that before you sent stuff over there. So, I do support the global economy, and I'm not an extremist in the extent that, you know, if you have some things you really need and it's not from America, you know, not made in America, it's okay. It's, you know, it's a lot like a diet. Don't let a couple, you know, things, you know, go outside of your diet, ruin your entire diet. So
Correct. That's
the one thing. I don't want people to feel pressure in what I'm doing. I want them to feel empowerment that they have control over their future. That's my goal. I don't want to make people feel bad because they buy something made in China. I want them to feel empowered to buy American made. That's the better way to do it. So
I agree with you. And another issue about small companies like ours starting up, you don't get to buy a reasonable amount of money to buy small amounts of stuff. You have to bring a whole container over here.
Good point.
And that, where you don't have the funds as a startup company to buy a whole container of, say, the stickers that we put on, you know, or something like that. That's a lot. So it has to be made.
That's another issue outside of made in America. I think it's crazy how, you know, I bank with several different banks. I can't go into J.P. Morgan Chase and get a loan to start a business. You know, I got to have money to be able to get a loan. I think a lot of the ways that industry needs to change a little bit too, and they need to, you know, these banks need to go back to the days where they give entrepreneurs a chance to, you know, to go after their dream, because a lot of the times, a lot of the times it's, you know, these banks do not give you that chance. I mean, you have to have money to be able to get that extended line of credit already. People just don't take chances on you, and that frustrates me too. So, like you said, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, and that could be about building the relationship as well. I mean, we got to start up because we have a great relationship with a banker for many years before that, you know, proving ourselves in the trucking industry and saying, here's these loans for a brand new truck, and we need this trailer, and, you know, and whatever. And, you know, we proved ourselves. So,
are you an independent owner? Are you folks independent owners?
We're leased to a real small company. He has 28 trucks of his own, and then there's 10 owner-operators leased to him. So we can't, he's small enough where he has freight, but he lets us kind of do our own thing. So we can find our own freight, haul his freight, whatever we want to do.
So, yeah, you're managing that side of it.
Yeah.
So you're managing that. And yeah, so you're pretty much a business owner on that end, too, because you're having to deal with all of that. That's a huge part. That's why you can be successful in other areas too.
Well, I'd like to get back to about the overseas product. I mean, it was very, very tempting to get them manufactured over there because I had a vision in my mind of this product and what I wanted to sell it for. And I'm kind of stuck in the 70s. You know, I thought I'd be able to build this thing, sell it for under $100 and still make some money. But when we were first getting them first prototypes made, I made my first ones myself, cut them out with a skill saw, welded them together because I didn't have benders or none of that equipment. But then when I got some of the first ones made, it was costing $40 to paint them inside and out, all the drawers, all the toolboxes and all that. So I was just about laid out, and that's why, you know, it was so tempting to start researching getting them made overseas, but then we learned more. Like the first toolboxes, like I said, were painted, powder coated inside and out, and it cost $40 just to paint one. Well, then we learned about a material called Galvanil, which is kind of like galvanized, but it's thinner, has a thinner coating, but still rust proofs it. So we don't have to paint the inside of the toolbox or the inside or the outside of the drawers. We line the drawers with foam so your tools don't rattle around, but they're rust-proof. So just the outside is powder-coated, and then the front of the drawer is stainless steel, so it looks good, and it'll always be rust-proof. So we just learned a few things to save money over here. And like I said, like Debbie said, if we were bigger, we could probably order thousands more at a time and get them cheaper, which we'd love to do, but we're just not big enough to do it. So we're just plugging along as we can, trying to make the best product at the lowest price, you know. So that's what we're doing.
As you start off, you gotta have a little bit higher prices and a higher profit margin. But you know, like as business picks up, that's the whole thing too. I try to tell people about Made in America. It's a business side of things too, because the more that the consumer demands, the more you produce. As you produce more, you can get a reduced price as you produce these things on a mass scale. So the more, you know, the more that you start producing, you can either decide to cut back your cost and lower your margin a little bit since you're producing more, and it allows you to create a more affordable price. I mean, there's a lot of strategy into Made in America too that I think as labor costs rise around the world, and I think that it'll have a positive impact on American manufacturing because energy prices are down as well. So that's kind of helping us as well. So I have a positive outlook for American manufacturing. I just think that we're not helping ourselves in Washington and helping those that want to make things here. We're actually, incentivizing people to offshore, and I just think that that's a dead wrong policy, and it's gonna lead to economic disaster for us, and especially the middle class working man. You know, it's tough, and the entrepreneur. It's a domino effect. I use that term a lot, but that's the way it works. And a lot of this stuff is a domino effect. So,
and what you say is absolutely true, and we got a story to prove it. One of our first dealers, Brian at Four States Trucks from the Chrome Shop Mafia, he met my wife at a truck show, and he goes out looking for products like this, and he just absolutely loved it. And he knew he wasn't going to make the money that he'd usually make on a product, but he wanted to go with it because it was American-made, it was tough, it was built to last. And Debbie could tell you more about that, about the meeting with him and how he is. It wasn't about the money. It was about a small company that he loved, and he wanted to promote. And I don't know, I think Debbie can add something to that, though, but it kind of proves your theory.
Yeah, he came up, it was a smaller truck show, and he came up because someone else told him, you have to go and see this. And he's kind of a quiet guy, but basically he was adamant, I need this in our store, and it's the biggest reason is because the banner that's up there that we have at every show, and it says, one American-made product, I mean, it says, making trucking easier, one American-made product at a time. And he said, that caught my eye and how well-built it is. He said, and you can go get that red toolbox, no names mentioned, but you can go get that red toolbox and put it in your truck. But you're always going to have hassles with it, and it's always going to have, it's only, it might cost you $40 instead of the $200 for our toolbox, but mm-hmm. I'm going to have to replace that every 3 years. Yours,
exactly.
I'll never, ever, ever have to replace it.
Yep, that's exactly right, and that's the biggest thing that we forget. When you buy things that last, you don't have to continue to buy the stuff over and over again. So it's going to take a while to who knows when it's going to happen, but to be able to change the mentality of the American consumer, you know, it's tough. I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years promoting my film, you know, and I landed a distribution deal. We're on iTunes. I've been on cable networks, you know, and I'm still trying to make, you know, to where I feel comfortable and try to reinvest in a new project. And it's, like I said, 3 years of this, it's really hard to grab people's attention. It's something that they like. It's something that you want to talk about. But when it comes, I tell people it's a lot like a diet. You know, it's good for you, but it's really hard to stick to, because you know you always want that sweet. And once you get it, you go off your diet and then you forget about it. And we just got to get America back on its diet of American-made products and valuing the manufacturing process and understanding that it helps our economy a great deal. And it helps the service sector industry. It helps the trucking industry. When you got the manufacturing industry doing well, service sector jobs are popping up. People are ordering things. Trucks are moving. You know, construction's booming. You know, these trucks, it's, once again, I'll say it one more time, the domino effect.
Definitely.
Well, the logistics involved in, you know, being American-made, you know, having American-made products, you give jobs, the impact on the economy, you know, you're giving jobs to the folks that are making the integral parts of the Cubby Buddy. Say somebody's, you know, like the pull parts that you were saying, somebody has to make those, so you're making those jobs, and it is a domino effect. So you start, you know, if you have, you know, 10 companies that start up, well, from those 10 companies, 10 more companies start up. Because in the trucking industry, you know, the impact on American-made products for the trucking industry, who we're here really talking about, that's what makes it so important. You know, that's why,
right.
You know, for our American folks, you know, for our citizens to have jobs, to continue forward, and for our economy to grow. That's why I'm so proud of all the, you know, the different, you know, folks that have been calling in and, you know, all the companies that I've talked to just trying to get this program together. And we're going to do, you know, obviously it's a four-part series, so we're going to have more companies on. But the stories behind everyone, and that's another big thing. It's not like you folks have a story, the reason why you started it. I mean, 23 years in the making. You know, why don't you guys tell us just a little bit about that real quick?
Well, that's a long story. I'm the type of guy that thinks of all kinds of products and never did nothing with it. And 3 years later, after I thought of it, I'd see it on the store shelf. So this one started in, I believe, 1984. I knew I wanted this product, but just never did nothing with it. Well, then I'm not good with years, but my best friend since fourth grade was dying from Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was going to help me with this way back, but we put it off and put it off and put it off. So he brought it up, and I just went crazy with it, started building prototypes. I had it in my mind that I'd build this thing. I built a bunch of them, gave them to friends, and they put them in their trucks and just loved the idea. And I thought, you know, 6 months later, I'd have them on store shelves and be able to take care of all the financial needs of my buddy and until the day he died from that Lou Gehrig's disease. So we just went crazy with it, and that's finally what pushed me off the fence to get rolling, to think I was going to take care of my buddy. But by the year he died, it's not funny, but by the time he died, I was $180,000 in debt. So I still took care of him as much as I could, and I wish he was still here. I could take care of him more. Our product is, we're just getting in the black now, you know, and it's tough sometimes, but when you go to truck shows like that and you hear all the guys coming up and telling you how much they love it, and all the people I've met in the industry now, instead of just truck drivers, but manufacturers and other truck drivers that have done kind of the same thing, started out, and I mean, it's been an experience that I wouldn't sell for $1 million. You know, I would do it all again, even though it's been such a struggle, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, well, that's the importance of, you know, being an entrepreneur and being American-made, and you have to go the extra mile. And you know, I want to tell you that we certainly appreciate everything that you're doing, not only for, you know, you being truckers, also just the, you know, the stance of being American-made. And we have run out of time. We actually went over a little bit, so I am going to have to kind of you know, call an end to this. But you know, if there's anything else that you, Debbie and Jeff, want to tell our listeners, why don't you go ahead and do that? Maybe give them a website or you know, maybe your Twitter feed, your link.
Yeah.
Sure. I can tell you that we have the website is, you can there, either way. It's the easiest one is CubbyBuddy.com or 16 the digits 16 tonindustry.com. And
gotcha.
Yeah, and you can order by phone or order online. And if you want to call us at 320-352-6820, we'll get your order shipped out. We usually do shipping within 1 or 2 days. And the Twitter account is #, oh boy, Cubby underscore buddy. And
that's it.
You can find us on Facebook at Cubby Buddy Toolbox.
Yeah, I found the Cubby underscore buddy. I've been doing that quite a bit the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you
I knew
for
that
confirming
one.
That. And I do have to say with Jeff's story there quickly, just to say that we have inspired two other truck drivers. Last year we had one of them at Matt looking at something he made and put it out there as a prototype to see how well it would go. And this year at Matt's again, we're going to have somebody else with a flatbed invention. That's all I'll say about that, so we can debut that. But
well,
we
great.
Also have, Jeff has also invented in our lines, logistics bar holders. They're called Raising the Bar for logistics trailers to hold the load bars up against the side of the wall when you're not using them.
Great. Well, look forward to hearing more about that. Definitely, like I think I told you on the phone, we're interested in, we'll try to get you maybe back on the phone on the show for Matt, our Matt show, okay?
That'd be awesome. That'd
yeah,
be good.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'll do that. Well, listen, just want to say thank you very much for Jeff and Debbie Zaire for coming on the show, making trucking easier one American-made product at a time. Thank you so much.
That's it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the show. You have a good night.
Yeah, and if you give your guest our phone number, I'd love to talk to him again off the air, too, sometime.
Oh, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, definitely. I can hook you up.
All right. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we can definitely. I'll give you all the emails, and you know if that's okay with Josh. And he's a brand new daddy, so he's busy on all ends there, right, Josh?
Yeah. It's,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Contact me.
Well,
anytime.
Thank you for what you're doing too, Josh. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
All right.
Well,
bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you. And we're going to have to say goodnight to Josh Miller also. We're going to cut a little bit short. We're going to have our other guest, John Henry's from Diesel Boost Plus will probably come on our next installment of the show. He's agreed to do that through our Twitter here that we've just talked to him. So we're going to move on to our musical guest. Josh, if you want to stay on the line, you're welcome to. But I just want to take a minute out here to introduce our next guest, who is our musical guest, Jason McCoy of the band Roadhammers. And Jason, we're going to bring him right on after a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Fusion Health, healthy sleep, healthy future, Fast Cargo, driving great carriers, and Rudolph Foods. Nobody makes better tasting pork rinds. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to the Extreme Truckers Show.
When trucking companies are recruiting, where do they go? To the Extreme Trucker Show, where our recruiting specialists give you the edge for all the best employment opportunities. Tonight's featured carrier is Averitt Express. Are you just starting your truck driving career or looking to take it to the next level? Then join the team of Averitt Express Drivers, where more than 800-plus associates have called home for more than 20 years. Call 888-967-5487 or visit averittcareers.com. CDLA holders needing training. Apply online to averittcareers.com. And remember to tell them you heard it live on the Extreme Trucker Show.
Okay, we are back, and we are joined with Jason McCoy. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Lisa, how are you?
Good.
I'm great.
I'm so glad we got you on the show. I know we've had a couple of mishaps.
Oh, a little back and forth. I think I was sick 1 week, and then y'all had some got a little sick 1 week. So everybody's healthy now.
We're still running it through the studio here. I'm still coming, trying to not cough on the microphone.
not good for people who talk for a living, right? You want to be able to talk.
No.
I want to be able to sing, but we're all good now, and everybody's healthy, and appreciate you having us on the show.
Hey, no problem. Listen, I want to introduce you. We've got Josh Miller. We're doing actually a Made in America episode, part one of a series of four that we're doing, and Josh Miller has made a documentary that it's very interesting. It's all about traveling across the United States trying to just buy American-made products. So it's something that you might, if you get a chance, check it out. It's called Made in the USA, the 30-Day Journey.
Well,
so
I got to tell you, absolutely. And Josh, you're there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Pleasure to meet you. I got to say that we are from Canada, and pardon me, I just kind of talk a lot. We are from Canada, and we've been living in Nashville for the better part of our musical careers over the last 15, 20 years. And we certainly do call America our home, but very proud of the patriotic nature you guys all have down here of your country. We just think it's great. We know we're implants here from Canada. We're very proud of our country as well, but I love the American-made mantra, and I think it's just fantastic. The country music was born here. We're glad to be part of it, but we just think it's one of the best nations in the world. So we thank you for accepting the Roadhammers.
Hey, thank you so much,
really.
That was really sweet. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and listen to one of your songs before we get started with your interview. This is an original. It's called Mud. So sit back and enjoy.
Turn it up.
I gotta find it here first.
There we go. We sing songs about trucking and all things.
Turtle pool full of dirt. Grab the hose and get a response.
Okay, we are back, and what an awesome song. That has got everybody's rocking here.
That's fun to hear. Thank you.
Oh, it's an awesome song. That was a lot of fun. We played it a couple of times today, you know, just listening to it, and everybody likes the video, too. The other song that you did that we'll be playing in a minute, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about the band?
Well, I had a very successful solo career in Canada, just as Jason McCoy, and always wanted to put together a band that kind of sang trucking tunes, because I grew up with some of my favorite records growing up were Diesel, Smoke, Dangerous, Curves, you know, Greatest Hits guys, just guys like Del Reeve. And so I wanted to sing all these songs that I really enjoyed. I had a lot of truckers in my family as well, and so grew up around the trucking industry.
Great.
And the other fellas in the band, the same kind of thing. Clay's folks own a trucking company, and Chris, our bass player, same kind of thing. So we came by this fairly honestly. We put the band together in 2006, and we became the number one selling band in Canada. We've sold more records in Canada than any other country band, and it just blew our mind that people were so into this. Band came down to Nashville. We had a little bit of a record deal down here, and then it kind of fell apart, but we've regrouped, and we're back at it. And like the album Wheels says, we sing all things about trucking, but we sing all things Wheels. And mudding, you know, is one thing we kind of all like to do on the weekend. So we wanted to write the theme song for that, you know. And it was fun. We got to get out and get a little muddy. It's all good, clean fun, but got to have our kids in the video and all that. So we sure appreciate you playing it.
Oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. You know, I mean, you can't, it's kind of, it's very catchy, you know, in the very beginning, mud. I mean,
mud.
It says it all, doesn't it?
You got to remember, when you say that word backwards, it kind of reflects the IQ of our band. But I got to say, it's fun to sing anyway. We're done.
That's so funny. That's really cute.
All good.
Well, yeah, all good. Well, where are the other band members? Who's in your band?
Well, there's Chris Byrne, who we just did some recording day with Chris and I. We're in Nashville here, but I'm in Nashville, but he lives in Calgary, Alberta, and Clayton, he lives in Edmonton, Alberta. So they're in the Texas of the they're in the Texas of the North, and we've all lived down here at certain times in Nashville, and I just couldn't leave. I just love it so much.
Oh yeah, it is. And Nashville is a nice place. We like to call it home too. So. I'll tell you, it's cold up in Alberta.
You know what? It is.
In the winter.
Very cold, but it is. I'm from Ontario. I have a farm up there. My wife is actually in Canada right now, and some friends needed some hay bales moved today. So she's a true farm gal. She was out there today starting the old tractor and getting it going in the cold, but. We're all road hammers at heart. We just love all things of wheels, and we're all kind of gearheads. So, but we feel that as musicians, you know, we kind of share the life of a trucker. We're out on the road and at the same kind of hours all through the night, and we know better than anybody that, you know, if you owned it, the truck brought it, and we understand the struggles of, you know, fuel prices and you know, dealing with the DOT and all these kind of things. So, you know, it's not an easy way to make a living, but it is it's in our blood. And it's what we love to do. So we see our brothers and sisters on the highway, and we just want to be their soundtrack.
Oh, it sure is. It's a great soundtrack for truckers because they totally understand that. You know, you have a good understanding of what they're doing, and that's true. And I appreciate you saying that. That if you have it in your home, you know, you have a trucker. If something's made, truckers are going to bring it to you. You know, they're the ones that are filling all those shelves. So, right. And Josh is still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're not made in America, my friend, but we're growing up in America, so I hope that kind of counts.
I think I'll let that slide.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Hey. Well, we're going to go ahead and get to the next song. It's called, well, first of all, tell me about the album.
Well, the album, the first album was just called The Road Hammers. This album here is called Wheels, and this is kind of our reunion album, if you will. We love doing covers. We love doing what we call hammerizing old tunes. We took Girl on the Billboard by Del Reeves and redid it, Eastbound and Down, those kind of things. But we mainly write original material. Which song do you have queued up next?
Hillbilly Highway.
okay, well, this is one we pulled out and we dusted off and we hammerized it. And it's a Steve Earle song that we'd always sang live and we just love it. But we kind of did our own way, and we invited a good friend of ours, Colt Ford, onto the track. So he does
right.
a little kind of a country thing, kind of rap thing on there. And we've done lots of shows with Colt over the years, and we share the same kind of audience. So it was a big treat for us to have him on the record. And now it's getting played in the U.S. here, and we're very proud of this song.
Okay, well, let's listen to it. Here's Hillbilly Highway.
Much but a beat up truck and a dream about a better life. Grandmama cried when she waved goodbye. You never heard such a lonesome sound. Pretty soon dirt road turned into blacktop Detroit city bound. Down that hillbilly highway.
A hillbilly, real billy my way. The top spinning, girls grinning, getting sideways. I got them screaming from the south out to L.A. Everybody wanna ride with a rock star. In a truck, in a plane, hop a boxcar. Country girl wanna bear a little piece of your soul. It's a one-way ticket to rock, so let's roll.
Another good one.
Oh,
ho. Oh,
ho,
yeah.
Oh, ho, ho.
Right on. I got to tell you, if you bought it, you know, a truck brought it, and if you heard it, a radio station played it, so we sure appreciate that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, got one more question for you, and want to talk just a little bit about the giveaway, the Triumph Thunderbird Bikes giveaway. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, we got a good friend in Triumph Motorcycles, and they've worked with us on several different things over the years. And, you know, we sing about wheels. So, you know, bikes have wheels, and we're kind of mm-hmm. bikers as well. And we decided that we'd feature a Triumph Thunderbird, in the video of Hillbilly Highway. So mm-hmm. you can see that on YouTube now. If you put the Road Hammers, Hillbilly Highway, you can see the bike that you actually win. And all you have to do is go to Twitter and I think it's just, you'll see it on our Twitter feed. If you don't, go to theroadhammers.com, and it's called the Win Wheels campaign. So you just have to tweet that out, and you'll be entered into the contest to win the wheels. We're just giving away a bike full on, straight up. You don't have to do nothing.
Great. There you go.
You just got to promise to be a Hammer fan. That's it. That's all. And a Triumph fan.
I think I may have accidentally entered into that. I might win that bike.
You know, you need some wheels, and then you need to cruise around with the hammers.
That's right. Yeah, I'll come. I'll quit this job and go work with you folks.
throw away this idea of having a career and just waste your life with the hammers. It'll be fun. We won't make any money, but we'll have a good time.
It's called a groupie, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's, you know what? I think we're just groupies for country fans is what we are. We just go out and that kind of feeds our passion. But, you know, we've toured everywhere from, we've toured a lot in the U.S. here. We've got a lot of great fans here. We played at the Louisville Trucking Show. We played at the Great American Trucking Show in Texas. That was a few years back, but we're looking to get back there. And we've worked with different trucking companies over the years, some of their, you know, private parties and stuff.
Nice,
but,
yeah.
Really looking to get back and visiting all our friends down here in America. So they can watch for something coming later this year into the fall for an American release. So it's going to be a big year for the Road Hammers.
Oh, congratulations on all your success. It's a couple of great songs, lots of fun. It's a good time, good music. Have a good time with it, and that's what counts. And obviously, you appreciate the truckers, and that's what matters to us. We're all about the truckers on the show, and want to thank you very much for all that.
Well, thank you. We just always want to be the voice of the trucker, and I know that, you know, from the truckers and all the guys and girls out there on tour as well, musicians, having a friendly voice on the airwaves is it's really second to none. I mean, when you're out there at 3-4 in the morning, it's a totally different world. There's a very few select people who understand and really live that life.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth, man. That is the truth. Our last guest, they are not only truckers, but they're also inventors of American-made products, Cubby Buddy. So, you know, they're trucking and they're living that life. And then, you know, when they are at home, they're building these toolboxes. They're called Cubby Buddy. So, you know, that's the ingenuity. You know, that's the ingenuity that we talk about when we talk about American-made. And, of course, we include Canada in there, too, so that's okay.
we love our Canadians. Well, you know what? We're very proud just to be North Americans, but you know, we've been very very fortunate to have a great fan base down here in America. So, Road Hammers are born in Canada and fixing to be made in America here. So, and heck, we're truck drivers as well. So the Cubby Buddy is a good product for us as well. And toolboxes, well, you don't want me messing with tools because I just break things. But we've got some handy guys in the band.
Well, listen, we're running out of time. Just wanted to see if you wanted to shout out to anybody or give any last information or tips or websites to our listeners.
Well, first of all, head on over to roadhammers.com, and if you dig our music, make sure you pick up a CD or whichever you'd like at iTunes. We'd sure appreciate it. But whether you do or not, we just appreciate you giving the Hammers a few minutes of your time. And Cubby Buddies, we got to put a link of you folks on our website because we truly believe in American-made products and North American-made products. And I just want to thank you at the radio show for, you know, extreme truckers. I mean, every day is kind of extreme. So yeah. Keep it safe, keep rubber side down, and keep the hammers cranked up.
All right, all right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Jason, for coming on the show. We've been talking to Jason McCoy, our musical guest, and just want to say thank you very much. And, you know, we'll look forward to having you back on. How's that?
Lisa, you're very kind, and we'd love to do that. We got a new CMT series coming up that we'd like to talk about. So maybe we'll tell all the truckers about that and some trucker music coming to the screen.
Oh, that would be awesome. Great. We'd love to have folks back on, you know, get a good relationship going, and we have people on all the time. So love to hear from you again. Yeah, just
good
keep, keep
you,
in
Lisa.
Touch with Twitter.
You bet. We'll keep you all informed, and we hope you win the wheels with Triumph.
I'm going to try. I might get my husband to do it, too.
You sound too nice and too intelligent to be following a country band around, but we'd be very, very appreciative if you would.
Well, thank you for that, but I'm not too sure.
All right.
I might retire. Well, listen, you have a good night.
We all have a good night.
All right.
Thank you. Keep the hammers cranked up.
All right, you too. Bye. I want to thank all my guests tonight. Josh Miller, especially want to thank him for his efforts on bringing the awareness of the American-made movement to everyone. We want to thank the inventors of Cubby Buddy, Debbie and Jeff Zayer. Of course, John Henry was not on this evening, but we will have him on our next part two of our Made in America series, and he's with Diesel Boost Plus. And, of course, our musical guest, Jason McCoy, with the band Roadhammers. Thank you all for participating on our Made in America four-part series on the Extreme Trucker Show. It was a pleasure being here tonight. Be happy, stay safe, and whatever you do, keep on listening to the Extreme Trucker Show. Good night.
The Extreme Trucker Show is a production of Indie Star Media and Entertainment. Executive producer Lisa Horn, marketing Stephen Mackey, production coordinator Jillian Redmond. You've been listening to The Extreme Trucker Show, broadcasting live every Thursday night at 10:30 Eastern from the Northington Energy Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Until next week, keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel.